Hello and welcome back. We are in the beautiful city of Darmstadt for Microsoft Technical Summit 2016. There's been a ton of good sessions already. Hopefully you've been watching. There was some in German, and Manuela did fantastic, so hopefully she'll come back and relieve me a little bit later. I have a special guest today. How you doing, my friend?
Hello, Seth.
Stefan Scherer.
Yes, that's correct.
Very good. He's just saying that. I didn't get it right. Tell us who you are and what you do, my friend.
Yes. I work as a senior software engineer at Seal Systems, a software company here in Germany. Mm-hmm. And we are investigating the Docker technology for our new products and also exploring Windows containers. Mm-hmm. And that's why I also got the title of a Docker captain.
Nice.
Because of my community work, and also Microsoft MVP since July this year.
Well, congratulations, my friend.
Thank you.
So you were at work, and your work said, hey, we need to start looking at what this Docker stuff is. And
correct.
That's how you got into it.
It's more the developers has caught this new technology and want to try it out and use it in development. And we also use it for our test environments. And we are looking forward for our customers that they will deploy our product also with
awesome.
Docker containers.
So tell us about what a Docker captain is.
The Docker captains program is very similar to Microsoft MVP.
Okay.
They are sharing their knowledge in the community, helping others. We are also making a local Docker meetup near where we live. And so that's, we are honored by the company Docker to be a Docker captain and have some benefits as well, yes.
That's awesome. You also mentioned that your software company, you want to distribute your software as a container. Did I get that right? Tell me more about that.
Yeah. We are currently developing a new product on microservice infrastructure, and so Docker will be a nice fit to deploy them and scale some services if they need more workload to do, so we can scale the container count up and down. And this works pretty well on the Linux side. And I'm also investigating the progress that Microsoft and Docker does in the Windows container field. And so I very soon tried to port our new product also to Windows containers.
Mm-hmm.
So because some of our customers have Windows workloads, but we want to use the same tools there.
Right. So so for those that don't know, what is the difference between a VM, a container, and one of these little Docker, what do you call them? Those are containers?
Containers,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, so what's the difference between a VM and a container?
Yeah. VM is a complete operating system packed into some virtual hard disk. And in that virtual machine, you deploy your application, put in your dependencies, runtimes, for example. But that makes some gigabytes, I think, to deploy all this. Very smaller are Windows are containers, because you only pack into a container image your software and the dependencies you need. The trick is, it's not a virtualization, more an isolation technology.
I see.
To isolate the application from your host system, you don't have to install it directly on your host. But inside the container, it feels like a virtual machine. I think it has own IP address and host name, and can talk to other resources in the internet or to other containers as well.
That's amazing. So Docker then is a container service. Can you tell us a little bit more about Docker? I thought you had a slide that was really good.
Yes, the idea behind Docker is that the developer has the same environment as finally in production. As a developer, I create my Docker image probably on my notebook here, can run it, can try it out, and if it works, I can put this container image into some kind of registry, for example, a Docker Hub or local hosted or in an Azure cloud hosted registry, where you put your software in version X, for example, 1.0,
mm-hmm.
and then you can share it with your team colleagues. They can run exactly the same application and it will run because it's the same environment inside the container.
Sure. So tell me more about the registry, because that's something, because I understand, like, you can have a container that's, say, for example, I don't know, just a common stack, like a mean stack, for example. You can have that as a, is that something that's in the registry, or tell me what goes in the registry and how does a container sort of inherit from that?
Yeah. I will switch back into my source code. The registry normally contains some base images. For example, if I'm working with Node.js, I will look for a Node.js base image that already contains the runtime. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to build that. So that's the idea behind the Docker Hub and Docker Registry. You put only one person or a central team builds such base images, and others can use them without doing all the installation, how to install Node.js on Windows, how to install Node.js on Linux.
Right.
I just pick this and type from, and I'm done.
So you might have in the registry a set of baseline sort of environments. So you might be running something with Node on Windows. You might be running something with, I don't know, Mongo on Linux, for example.
Yeah.
And those would all be in your registry. And what you could do as a developer is you say, I want to start with this, and then you add your software on top of that. Is that about the right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
You put your application on top of these base images. They are called layers, and only these layers are transported between the registry. So only have to ship only this application. If you, for example, update your application from 1.0 to 1.1, you only replace this small layer.
I see. And so how do you, and this is where it gets a little confusing for me, how do I get my software? So for this one, it looks like we're running a Node application.
Yeah.
How do you get your software into the container?
Yeah, that's the next step. In this case, a very simple step. It's a very small Node.js application here with one or hundreds of Node.js source codes. Mm-hmm. And the simplest way is to copy then, with the copy command, from your laptop into the container image. It will.
So does the copy command say where to look in the local directory?
Yeah.
And then the other dot is put it in that.
Yeah.
Okay.
For example, to make it more clear, I want to put it into, or if it's a Windows container, I can write both ways. It should go to a subdirectory code on the C drive.
And okay. So when it's copying, is that C code, is that in the container, or is how is it getting the data? Is what I'm trying to understand. How is it getting App.js?
It's getting, because I'm working in the same directory, I can list it here. I have my Docker file we have seen already in the editor and my source code. There could be dependencies as well here. And when I build my Docker image, for example, I can give it a name, 2016 demo. And this dot means the current directory, search for a Docker file and build it. And what the Docker client does here is it executes each line. And this copy command does really copy the files that are here on my MacBook into a Windows container. It's transferred automatically.
I see. And so now there's a new container. Is that what does that look like? Is that a binary file or is it?
We have container images. These are the static view of your application.
And so Docker is managing all of these images that you're building based upon registry images that you put stuff on top of.
Okay, yes, correct.
That makes sense.
And with this image, I can run it and make a container and run the application, for example. And if I do that, I will start it as a daemon. As we have seen in the source code, it's listening on port 3000, but I want to run it on my machine here with on port 80. I can also translate the ports from my host, from my Docker host to the container.
Cool.
And do some port mappings here. And when I run this demo, it will show me a long number. That's the container ID. I can list all my running containers. No, it's not working. Let's see.
Oh, maybe something.
Okay, we have some issues here. My application doesn't start, but it's no problem. If a process is not running, I can still see some processes and see some logs. And I could say, oh, could not find.
Oh, because okay. you moved it into the directory
yes.
that it wasn't looking for.
Yes, I've done something wrong here. I will replace it back.
You know, I'm actually glad you did that because that would have scared me. And I what you did is you went to Docker logs, you saw that it exited, you're saying it couldn't find the
couldn't
file.
Start.
You went, oh, looks like I did something wrong there.
Yeah,
and fixed it.
I've deployed it in the wrong directory. Mm-hmm. I can rebuild it here. Build it again. And run it. And if we are doing now a Docker PS.
There you go.
Okay. And I will need the IP address of my Docker host. Mm-hmm. I'm running here on a MacBook, but have a Windows VM here
okay.
to show you the Windows containers as well. So I have to use the IP address.
And there it is.
And there it is, yes. And with this image, I can now go to my production server and deploy it.
This is awesome. And if we've really, like, we don't have a lot more time, right?
Okay.
It was pretty quick, but we learned about sort of what a Docker container is. We learned about the registry, how you can build on top of it. We've learned about the Docker file that tells you like which base to use, what to copy into, and then what to run. And then you showed us how to actually run it when there was a problem. You looked at the logs, fixed it. So this is exactly the same thing you would do if you're doing Docker, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Awesome. Well, this is a really tight demo. Thanks so much. I think we're about out of time, so we're going to go ahead and cut now to the next session, which is, let me tell you there real sec, a high performance analytics platform on Azure with Exasol. We'll cut to that now.
Okay.